I'll start.
Okay.
You're going to start with Luther?
Yeah. And then yeah. Anyways, so Mike, we were having discussions, and we just wanted to update you with what has been happening. We have been encountering this place, Metatron's Cube, which I had shared with you before.
Yeah.
And we all would like to share some of what, from our perspective, what we saw, what we experienced.
I don't know if Bill is pumped for that.
So you want to go ahead, Bill?
Sorry, I'm having a lot of feedback.
What did you say?
You're very echoey. I'm not sure if everybody else is hearing your echo.
Okay, whatever.
Mike.
Yep.
The first time I heard the word metagenomics, when you took this off, Yeah. So I because I had never heard of Metatron before. And when I started to look into what I see, from what I find, he's referred to as a high spiritual being next to the church. And that he was close to offering to, I guess, the Jewish tradition.
Okay. I think sometimes there's a whole mixture of things which comes about when we start engaging some ancient truth, and some of that ancient truth comes. And there's bits of it in lots of tradition, in the Jewish tradition. You'll find some of the Kabbalah type stuff. You'll find it in some of the sort of almost New Agey mythological stuff. And it's important to try and see it from a New Order perspective, because the reality of Metatron, and I know in Ian's teaching, Metatron is the chief of the order of the Chaos, which are the living creatures. And that's how I've met Metatron. I met him on a golden mountain in the Garden of God, and he gave me some keys, and his function was keykeeper and timekeeper of the spiritual realms. Now, I have heard quite a lot of different things from different sources, which I can't confirm or not confirm. I just want to share my personal experience, because that's all I can categorically state. There are some people that are saying that Metatron is Enoch. That's not my personal experience. Some people are saying, and some of that traditional Jewish stuff, that he was the highest order. That, again, has not been my personal experience. I found, for me, Melchizedek is the chief of the 12 houses. And Melchizedek, from Ian's latest teaching, was one of the covering cherubs where Lucifer left his position. Melchizedek kept his position and was given a high level of authority. And you also have wisdom, which was there before all the other things were created. So from my perspective, wisdom is the highest when it comes to order, because she was created first. Because it says she was there before everything else was created. So that is in order of creation. Does that mean order of authority? I think there are different levels of authority for different things. When it comes to the resources and the treasuries of heaven, then that seems to fall for Melchizedek to release the revelation that he saw when as a covering cherub. And Enoch is a man who ascended, so was not a created being. And you know, I've heard recently, you know, some people are saying that Melchizedek was Shem, and you know, there's all sorts of things that goes around, all these things. And I think the key is to keep it down to what our personal experience is. You know, I asked God clearly some things, and I clearly got some answers. So for me, the key is to engage and find out what the engagements are about. So when you're engaging, for instance, as you say, the different kaleidoscope sort of almost views of geometric shapes of the sacred geometry, it's our spirit that begins to engage that. You know, when I first started to see it, I had no idea. You know, it was like I was seeing it, four or five of us were seeing it in the same encounters from different perspectives. What I knew it was to do with governmental order and spheres of government and accessing different dimensional governmental spheres. That's what came to me as I was looking. And God has spoken to me specifically in the last month or so about the cube and the different dimensions of the cube and where the cube came from that then relates to the different dimensional shapes. And, you know, you have some, you know, physicists who are bringing some of those pictures out and stating that the eight different dimensional forces that are governs the smallest particles are in those geometric shapes also, which, you know, that sort of makes total sense, because everything operates on a fractal. God's created order in the creation of the spiritual realms and the physical realms and that which the realms we cannot see with our natural eyes, so those, you know, quantum realms, if you like, they're all based on the same mathematical principles and formulas. Some of them are sort of referred to as Fibonacci number sequences. Some of them are referred to the letter pi, or phi, sorry, which is a geometric number, and how that relates to the golden mean. So you see all these shapes in, like, you know, ferns and snail shells and coral, and everything has an order, and God established that order, and it's a mathematical order. So now we're beginning to start to engage with what is the meaning of these geometric shapes from a governmental perspective, because that's what we're being called into, understanding the dimensions and understanding how to govern. So there are spheres in some of the pictures you see of circles surrounding the interaction of where some of the geometric shapes connect, and they're governmental spheres. And so some of it will be, some people will say, what does it matter? You know, I'm just don't really get what you're on about, what's the point? I think some of it is that there is ancient revelation, ancient pathways, ancient knowledge that God is re-releasing to us because we're coming back into a governmental position. And we will need to know how to use some of the vibrational frequencies, some of these mathematical formulas to be able to bring created order and to be able to operate in the future in terms of cities of refuge with power sources and different things to bring that government from heaven to earth. Now, right now, you know, there again, I look out and I see a whole lot of information that's being put out there. Some of it seems really confusing. Some of it uses language which is sort of very new agey. Some of it is like I'm listening to some of it and looking at it and thinking, I resonate with this, I don't resonate with that. And I allow my spirit to show me what my resonance is with it. And I'm not saying some of it's wrong, I'm just saying I'm not resonating with it at this point. So I go with what I resonate with, and then I begin to seek God or seek wisdom and seek for the revelation for what that means to me now. You know, and ultimately it will bring a manifestation of the heavenly government of God into this realm to bring this realm back into its created order, which is in the spiritual dimension. Now, you know, that's not going to happen tomorrow, but it is going to happen, and I believe that God is calling for sons to come into agreement with him and come into their position of government so that we can begin to take that position and begin to function in that way. But there's a process. You know, there is the walking in his ways. You know, if we're not prepared to walk in his ways in this dimension, in the ways of love, and to operate in his ways, then he's not going to entrust us with this revelation and knowledge to be able to do that stuff. So we have to learn to walk in his ways, to walk in love, to walk according to righteousness and justice, to walk according to the spirit of life, you know, the spirit of faith, and you know, how to walk out the principles that God has released in the 12 laws that came out of Jerusalem. Now, as we're faithful in pursuing that, then there is the where we begin to outwork the principles of the kingdom in the realm beyond the veil, and that is to operate in the 12 laws of Zion, which are connected with the 12 houses in the heavens. And as we're faithful to begin to outwork those principles, then we are given charge of the house and given charge of the courts, then we're given access to stand as sons. And there's a journey that we have to outwork to be able to engage that. And I think many people do get caught up with the sort of the mysterious and the mystical and actually don't see the practical, because you know, we can have wonderful pictures, but if we don't know what they mean and how we function in them, then they're just pictures. So it's always looking to seek for what is the function. Again, a Hebrew mentality rather than a Greek one. Because, you know, sometimes we want to know, well, what that point means and what that intersection means, and we're trying to sort of look at it from a Greek analytical perspective rather than a Hebrew, how is this going to help me function in the realms of the kingdom, and you know, what is its function rather than the form? You know, and you know, we're all learning. You know, I sort of try and keep abreast of as much things as I can, and some of it I just think, hey, that's just a bit even too far out for me at the minute, but I'm not saying that I won't get to some of that. But if you're looking at some of the high-level understandings of frequency and vibration and power sources and energy sources, but you have no function of government in the kingdom, then you're never going to be able to outwork it, even though you might have the knowledge. You won't have the wisdom and the understanding to be able to outwork it. So it's seeking knowledge, wisdom, and understanding together to ensure that this is for the fulfillment of God's purpose in establishing his blueprints on the earth as it is in heaven. But it's, you know, it's really interesting, you know, and I think there will be some people who are called into understanding this at a deeper level, and there are some people who will be called to just know how to connect with it and how it begins to guide and direct our spirit in engagement in the realms of heaven. You know, recently I've engaged with an angel alongside Wisdom, who gave me 7 instruments of navigation to help navigate some of these things. Now I now need to start to pursue, you know, what that is. And the angel was Prudence. And you know, it's now my responsibility, having been shown these 7 instruments, to go and pursue that. Now, not everyone necessarily will be given those things. If you're not, don't worry. I mean, the thing is, go with what the revelation you've got and begin to outwork that revelation in a spiritual and practical way, so that we can begin to raise up a Joshua generation. I mean, that is, I believe, all our calls, to establish the equipping that the next generation is going to need. And we may not have everything in that equipping. Our role may be to equip in one area. Someone else's role may be to equip in one area. We just need to make sure that we are functioning according to the blueprint, according to our own lives and our own destiny, so that we can fulfill God's purpose for us as individuals in his bigger picture. You know, my life is a fractal, and I'm built into a living stone, and that as a living stone into a living building, and that living building is part of a larger building and blueprint that God has for his whole body, his whole church. And it's knowing where we fit and begin to function in that place. So it'd be interesting. I mean, what did some of the rest of you see, and in when you began to engage some of these things?
Mike, I just almost sounded some of the things what you said about me and Angela were talking about last night. Like almost some of the same things, right? Because we just shifted background and mandate and call and type. Like one of the things that is type in. The type of disciple, right? Because one of the things that I saw is this tree. First of all, I saw this circle, and it had these lines just coming out from it, and attached to these lines were other circles, and attached to the line with other circles, and it just spread out like a fan. And then it seemed to transform into a tree, and the scripture in John 15 about he's a vine and we're branches came, start to sort of unfold, where I saw this tree, and this, it seems almost like the same line and circles, but these branches just spreading out and spreading out and spreading out, and it's us, you know, the ecclesia, and each branch bearing fruit and the leaves and all this whole thing. I mean, it's a lot of stuff we discussed, but yeah, I guess normal. I see her unmuted. Angela, she wanted to share something, what she saw.
Oh, am I unmuted? Yes. Mike, you asked what others saw. The first time I engage with the cube, it's interesting that you mentioned power source, because what I saw in the cube was like a lightning rod, you know, like you know what a lightning rod is, right? With all kinds of flashes coming off it. It was very, very active. And then I saw colors and shooting types of colors. We engaged there for a while. And then it's almost as though that we did see Metrotron, and he was huge. And from there, we were led to other places, which would seem to us, as we discussed it, we were led into Eden. You know, we saw a lot of greenery, we saw waterfalls. So it seems that we were being refreshed and regenerated as well as we were learning. And you mentioned like how, you know, understanding of this. I find that each time on our ascensions, we're getting a picture that seems to be fitting quite nicely together. And I heard you mention earlier and even in your previous podcast about the navigational instrument, and I was talking to Elizabeth and we were reminded that on one of our first ascensions we did receive some navigational instruments. So as we look back, we're seeing how the Lord is, you know, the pictures that we're getting are forming a conversation and forming information. You know, it's informing us and just bringing things into focus for us.
And one of the things, Mike, that I remember as Angela was talking is that it seems, I was just reading out some of the things last night that I remember that I wrote down, and said, oh, I forgot this, good thing I wrote it down, is that it seems as though there's a sound within us. What I saw is like these, like a sound or a voice within us had these lines that were going out somewhere, and it was attached in some places, and so we felt the need to repent for places where our voices or sound or our voice print has been attached, or places where it should not be. And just ask for the blood of Jesus to wipe those places clean, and the memory of those sound, those like almost like a polluted record of sound, to be cleansed and released. And we felt as though when we stood in this cube, as though we were being rewired or retuned or realigned by a sound or truth, you know. We looked into one of the shapes, and the whole shape seemed to open up, and it had it was extremely bright. So for me, I couldn't see it as clearly because it was like too bright, and there was a figure standing there. But what I noticed as it opened up at the end, not at the end, it spread out like that, and it had these same lines and circles attached. And then I started to hear this word amoeba, and I think it was Bill. You looked it up. And I know it was a biological term, but I couldn't remember, school days, a long time ago, what that meant. And the whole aspect of God's DNA and His sound and His voice and His DNA just came to light there. And then suddenly we start to engage this, as Angela was saying, this huge, huge waterfall. It was like super thunderous and like larger than life. What I felt is like my mind, I'm like, this is super, it seemed like that movie Avatar, you know. And within the waterfall, we saw this like a DNA sort of thing, what it looks like a ladder thingy circling around it in this vapor and the smoke. And then the scene began to change, and I realized everything seems super large. And I felt as though, like, we saw the garden, and I'm like, this is huge. And I felt like something shifted in my thinking, because like when you think about a Garden of Eden, you think, like what you see gardens here and something really beautiful and exquisite, and that's true. But for me, I go like, but this is larger than I ever thought. This is nothing like what I see here. So for me, I felt something really, really changed here about what the garden may have looked like, and this huge tunnel, and then this fire coming out of that tunnel, like a pathway or a walkway, and then this really crazy fire, but we didn't pursue further. You know, and Adam, I go, he's not literal, he's large, he's a big person, he's spirit, like you saw this very, very large spirit. And so for me, that kind of changed it. What it shifted my thinking and my view of what I thought the garden must have looked like. Okay, let me shut up so Bill could go now.
Maybe Mike wants to comment on what we've looked at.
Did you want Mike to comment first?
Okay. Well, I mean, I think you're absolutely right in that it has to be anchored to outworking, you know. And I know that some people pursue the mysteries, and they pursue those hidden things, and there's a pursuit of those things which isn't attached to a governmental outworking, and they can become addictive in pursuit of knowledge and hidden knowledge and ancient knowledge and those things. And if there is no actual outworking of it, then that can get us into a trap. So I, as you say, making sure that this is attached to discipleship and helping people understand and come into their destinies so that you can begin to operate in responsibility. Because some of these things are attached to Eden, as you say, and Eden is the garden of God. There is God's personal garden within Eden, which is where I met Metatron and where that huge waterfall was. That was my first trip down a waterfall, was just down, you know, and I, having just been to the judgment seat, I stood on top of that waterfall looking down, not being able to see the bottom, wondering, can I go down there? You know, and I jumped off it, and it took me to a depth of a place that, you know, I've gone deeper into that place since. There's a huge depth that's attached to that. And, you know, all that's attached to God's garden and Eden is all about relationship. Everything there, the tree of life, the fruits of the tree, everything is about relationship. It's about intimacy. It's about knowing God. It's about knowing ourselves in relation to God. That's really what it is. It's enabling us to, in relationship, understand the nature of God, who He really is, who we really are as sons, which then gives us the equipping to begin to govern and take responsibility. But you can't do it without that relationship. And I think many people are seeking knowledge without relationship. And they will get knowledge. I'm not saying that they've not got knowledge, but knowledge without relationship is dangerous. Because it's the relationship and the intimacy with the Father and with God and with the depths of who He is that enables us to operate according to His character and His nature. When we engage the fire stones, the first level of the fire stones is about the fruit of the Spirit. It's about who He is. When you go deeper, yes, you go into protocols of the kingdom, but the first level is all about intimacy, and that is what gives us the foundation to which to actually outwork. And there is so much sort of almost, it's difficult, I can't know how to put this, but for some people, knowledge is power, and sharing hidden mysteries and mystical knowledge can give them a position of power. But actually, what is the fruit of that knowledge? The fruit of the knowledge must bring glory to God. It must glorify God. You know, we don't have crowns to glorify us. We have crowns to cast before His feet and honor Him. So everything that we're doing in connecting with these things in understanding the protocols of the kingdom and everything is about bringing glory to God. You know, it's not about us. It's not about creating our position or having that hidden knowledge and restricting it from people so that we are more powerful. And there, I see a little bit of that in some of what's going on. There's this sharing of knowledge, because it says knowledge puffs up. And there's a real danger in knowledge puffing us up without the wisdom and understanding that goes with it to enable us to fully bring that into bring glory to God. So, you know, it's the pictures and the larger picture and the understanding of frequency and vibration and all those things are key, and the sound within our lives, but that sound must resonate with Him. You know, it must resonate to produce a harmony in harmony with the heavenly symphony of God, not just with ourselves. You know, so it has to bring that harmony where the sound that we make joins with the sound that others make and connects up with the sound of God, and it all brings a wonderful sort of symphony that is God's plan and purpose to bring us into the place where He's always desired us to be, as His sons, as His children, operating like Him. But in it all, we must not miss the point. It's all to bring glory to Him. And I think that would be my encouragement in all these things, which can be seem like a little bit esoteric and a bit like, you know, and God spoke to me about that. And, you know, he said to me that, you know, if this is so mysterious and mystical that it cannot be outworked, then the point of it has been missed. So that would be my encouragement, is just to continue pursuing bringing glory to God and therefore bringing that on the earth so that we represent the fullness of God on the earth and that people will be drawn to that fullness. You know, it's His glory that is risen upon us so that we reflect that glory that would draw other people to Him, not us. They come to us only in that's a place where they can engage Him. And we must always point people to Him and not us, because it's about Him and it isn't about us. And so the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding we've got is so that people can engage God in it. Not that we should be the function. We're the conduit so that people can engage God. And so that the spirit that's around us and through us and the atmosphere that we create around us is an atmosphere of love so that people will recognize that God is love and be drawn to Him. You know, so that's some of my comment. But it is huge. You know, I think under the dimensions that we're talking about are huge compared to our natural mindset, and I think that's why when we engage these things, they just seem wow, you know, because when we think of a mountain and Mount Zion, it's like, well, our biggest mountain is Mount Everest, and Mount Everest is like a pinhead compared to the mountain of God. You know, it's minute compared to the mountain of God. And when we see things from an earthly perspective, and we're seeing ourselves from an earthly perspective, actually we will see us as small. But when you see from a heavenly perspective, you'll see that we are also designed spiritually to be large. It's just in comparison where the issues are. So when you see Adam, it's like, wow, isn't he big? Yeah, but so are we. It's our residual memory of this realm that we're trying to interpret what we see from, and sometimes that can just get us into, wow, aren't we small? But in reality, we aren't. You know, our spirits aren't small. We just have to actually understand the nature of our spirit and how, you know, we are called to walk in those realms. You know, we can walk in Eden. We can walk, and we can come into the under the waterfall of God and through it and all those wonderful places, so that we can draw and that refreshing. I think it is great when you said, you know, this is about we were felt refreshed, and that's really what that the whole nature of the garden of God is. You know, the tree of life, the river of life, the throne of grace. You know, it's about that refreshing, that restoring of our souls, that bringing us into peace and rest, so that we can flow out of that and function in it. You know, so yeah.
Mike,
yeah.
Could
I didn't quite catch that. Could we
go up together to meet Metatron?
Sure. I mean, we can certainly look to engage in that. There's no problem.
Can I say something? I was just saying that I was super excited when Mike is talking because it's almost like if you were with us in our conversation, some of the things that you're expressing. And one of the things you talk about harmony, last night, symphonic harmony. we're talking about the music, the sound, the chords, and this perfect harmony of sound, and when our voices sound coming to his word, creation will respond because we are in union, that is oneness. Jesus talks about John 17. So I'm super excited. Like, yay, Mike and Oliver conversation.
Well, okay. Yeah. I mean, how'd you know I wasn't there listening, you see? But we will come from the same perspectives in this because we're coming from the same sound, and because we're connected. So there's a connection, and that we're let's say we're part of the same area of the orchestra, that we have the same notes, and we will be like that. Those that you're connected to in that spiritual way, you know, you will begin to you get the same things, and you start to see things from the same sort of perspective. So, you know, that I think is just showing that that, you know, we're in the right place, and that we're connected in the right way, and that, you know, we're on the right pathway, and to what God wants us to do, you know, and to begin to outwork it.
That's why it's so interesting when you speak about my navigation, because that was one of our first mention together. That's almost like part of our baby that we receive, and we're receiving more as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, and you know, you get given things, and then you have to discover how to use them and what they mean. And some of them are very symbolic things. You know, it's not a literal sextant so that you can navigate by the stars or find your position, but it's representing that, and therefore how that outworks in our understanding of the heavens and the heavenly realms. You know, it will be about how to navigate the dimensions. You know, and you know, the person who shared the vision of this and shared, because she saw into the spiritual realm, saw what this angel was doing. Yeah, she had no idea of anything. I mean, really interestingly, on Sunday she shared two more pictures because she paints these things. And she shared one that she saw last Sunday in our meeting of a lion roaring. And what I shared yesterday morning was about a lion roaring. And she painted a picture, I think that same day, yesterday, of an angel with scales and putting the weights and measures on the scales of justice. And I also shared that yesterday morning, and she had no idea. I've never said it to anybody. But you can start to see in the realms of the spirit, and we're beginning to see that God is drawing all these things together so that we can engage in them, you know, without a doubt. So if we want to engage with there, I suggest that we sort of follow the pathway into the garden, and you know, we'll just engage there in that place of intimacy in God's garden. Okay. What I encourage you to do is just to begin to think about your first love gate and taking that step through the dimensions of the kingdom. And as our first love gate is open, we can just step through the gate of first love into the dimension of the kingdom as we go through the veils, just begin to engage with the river of life in the garden of God. So we feel the refreshing of the river as it flows through us, as we're in it, beginning to engage with the peace and the rest and that wonderful place of God's garden. As we just look off to the right and see the waterfalls just flowing down, cascading down, we just go and just engage that waterfall there. So we stand under the deep, calling us deeper, calling us higher, flowing out from the very heart of God. We just stand under it. As we just rise up that waterfall, as we engage the river of life, as we take the pathway with everything living and active, the sounds, the colors, the emotions, even the ground that we walk on, and the plants and the trees, just the living atmosphere of the glory of God are all around us, the wonder, the awe, this amazing place we're privileged to walk in. So we would just take the pathway that leads us to the bridge that crosses over into the garden of God. We meet Jesus standing, welcoming us as we just cast all our burdens onto him, all our doubts, our fears, our concerns, and he would just lift the weight from us. Look into his eyes and see the love, the longing he has for intimacy with us, and the longing that he has to lead us to the Father's heart, to engage the Father. So we just walk across that bridge. And take the pathway into God's personal garden. Just feel the rest, where we become one. With his heart and with all of creation, all that he's made. Just float, just become at peace and rest. And just let every atom, every particle of your being, just be disassembled and engaging with the whole of the created order. Connected to the symphony and the harmony of heaven, engaging God's purpose and plan for all of creation. Then we can stand under the waterfall in God's garden. Just allow the deep, deep things of God to draw us back together, to draw us into our part of the quest. Of our destiny, of our mandates, of our calls to answer the groan of creation. Let the desire of our heart begin to draw us to the Golden Mountain. Amazing place. To engage with Metatron as the keykeeper, as the timekeeper, with the mysteries. Of the sounds and frequencies and the government of God. As Metatron opens this realm, this dimension of engagement with his cube, with the dimensions of his government, as he reveals the government of God, the spheres and dimensions. As we receive his keys, as we receive revelation in our spirit to the times and the seasons of God, just be drawn to one of the shapes or the colors. Just allow your spirit to draw you to engage. It may be in the cube, the sapphire and the blue, and those lightning rods, the colors and the multi-facets of the manifold wisdom and grace of God revealed to us. Just sense that our spirits are receiving a deeper revelation, that we'll be drawn deeper and deeper into God's heart and into the mysteries that are being revealed to equip us in the outworking and fulfilling of our destiny. Of doors, a revealing of seasons and times, thank you. I believe the Father would want us to carry his heart for the world that's in his hands, for all of the created order, his heart for it, his desire, his eternal purpose. That our spirit will draw us towards the answer the creation is looking for, sons, to be revealed with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Spheres of the government of heaven. Unlocking the doors, bringing hidden wisdom into the light, to bring restoration to creation. To be the sound that causes creation to resonate and be drawn back into order and alignment. Just prepare our hearts and our spirit with all that we've received. Believe that Jesus would just have us come before the very throne and the throne room of God. We would just come before his throne, before the four living creatures, before the seven spirits of God and the elders, and we would just prostrate ourselves, casting our crowns and the revelation that we've received before him, to acknowledge the wonder, the awe of his rule and government, of who he is. As we humbly come before him, the desire of our hearts is to bring glory and honor and blessing to his heart. Just draw back through the veils, just coming together, spirit, soul and body back into this realm, carrying with us that revelation, that sound, that frequency, that color, that fragrance of God's heart, that our spirit resonates, carries a new sound, that we have a new keys, that we see new seasons. All right. Feel free if you want to share anything from that. No, it's up to you.
My guess is coming back down, I kind of got two fractions of the keys. I always thought, you know, keys unlocked, but the keys are actually the pattern which you're opening, he's given us, which you're opening things up for. Aren't they?
Yeah.
Right, the same with the physical keys.
Yeah. Well, see, I think, again, you know, often we look at things like keys and we see that, oh, it looks like something, you know, and you put it into a lock. But, you know, we're talking about keys from the perspective of important revelatory knowledge and wisdom that will give us the understanding to engage in certain things and to connect with different things in different seasons with God. And sometimes it's like we're given a key, and sometimes it's like we're giving a revelation, which is the key for what we're going to be able to do going forward.
What I did see, one of the parts that I saw is God's mark. Actually, just before you said doors, I saw these doors in his heart, and each door had, it's like judgment and love, faith and love. Everything was love, but it's definitely justice and love. And it was like each place was a place to explore and engage in. And then at the behind that, it's a little strange, but it's his heart, but it's just a place, right? And then it had all that, like a mountain ranges, that's what it looked like to me, spread out inside of these places. Yeah, and there was also the key, as you were talking about just now. It looks did look like a key, but it did have a sense of a revelatory aspect, and it was had a spinning thing like that, just spinning, and it was being. I had a thought of the windmills of Holland. That's the best way to describe how it was spinning, and it was being pressed inside of me, like pressed inside my spirit. And then it changed and looked like a blue kind of jewel gem or something, and it had different cuts in it, and it was being pressed inside of me. So, yeah, those are some of the things that I engaged in.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Yeah. Does anyone else want to share?
Yeah, I did a lot of things. I was engaging with Jesus and dancing with him along the way. I was also, among other things, I was also given a key. It was a simple key. It didn't look exactly like a key, but I knew it was a key. And I ate it, and I know that had to do with revelation. So that was basically it. Well, there was more, but that's what I'll share right now.
Great. Okay. That's good. All right. Well.